The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth. But no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I must admit, I get a lot of emails and I get messages on Facebook and social media, and people have ideas for radio shows or a book or an event or some idea, some article they read every once in a while, an individual. And so I pay attention to that. So if you ever have an idea, somebody that you think I should get on the show, or some topic, some subject, some event, some organization, feel free to throw it out. I mean, did you find me on Facebook or send me an email through the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and I'll look at it. And every once in a while, one will just come across the screen. This is from a buddy of mine. Talking about this ministry they're aware of and this gentleman that they know, and his name is Sasha Sutsarov, and he's from Russia. And not only is he from Russia, like Russia, do we talk about Russia these days in the United States of America? Yes, we've been talking a lot about Russia since about 1940, prior to World War II and World War I and World War II especially, and then the Cold War. And then the rise of the Soviet Empire, and then we get into the 1980s, and we get the Reagan administration, and then we get Gorbachev, and we get Perestroika, and one thing after another, and then the fall of the Soviet Union, replaced by just what we know today as Russia. And then, of course, we talk about Russia and Ukraine and everything going on. So to be able to talk to somebody that's not just Russian themselves, but a follower of Jesus Christ, and somebody that was a member of the KGB, and an atheist, appropriately, I was like, yeah, absolutely. So that's how we got connected with Sasha, and excited to get to know our brother from Russia today. Sasha, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. And I know that you're in the States, perhaps a little bit longer than you originally anticipated. So I just thank the Lord that we had a chance to have you on the show today. And thanks for your willingness to share. You've got a lot to share, Sasha, and I want to give you as much time as I possibly can. So I wanted to tell folks just a little bit about what's going on right now with the Moscow Seminary and why you're in the States, and then we'll go back in time to when you were a part of the KGB and an atheist.
The Moscow Seminary is doing great. It continues on providing training for Christian ministers out there. The seminary has 554 full-time students and 668 part-time students. Of them, 27 students are Ukrainian citizens and 108 ethnic Ukrainians. The seminary is not under sanctions of any kind, so we're doing fine.
Well, that's good to hear.
It is. It really is. It's the gospel. The gospel continues on. We serve the former Soviet Union, which of course includes Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Moldavia, Uzbekistan, Lithuania, basically you name it, we have it. So the seminary is doing great. I came to the States. I come to the States twice a year for about 2 weeks each time to raise scholarships for the needy students at the Moscow Seminary. Only this time I got stuck because the war broke out, and they canceled all the flights and all the trains going back into Russia. So hopefully when the dust settles, I make it back. I'm trying. I tried Frankfurt, tried Carol, tried Istanbul and Helsinki. So far, of no avail.
Nothing. Wow. Yeah. So, well, God will use this time well for you and to advance the cause of the gospel back in Russia. So that's exciting. Well, let's go back in time, Sasha, and take us back to the days when you were an atheist and you were a part of the KGB. And I know that your daughter came home one day. So kind of paint the picture for us so we understand what life was like for you before you met Jesus.
It actually started for me a whole lot earlier than that. I was raised at an orphanage in Moscow. Now, my mom ran it. According to the legend, that was her way of ensuring quality of treatment of orphans at the orphanage. She would place all of her children into the very orphanage she ran. Eventually, we kind of started questioning that whole concept, because first of all, as kids, we don't look each other. We didn't look alike. And we had a little meeting at which we decided we would never go for a DNA test with either each other or our mom. But our mom was certainly overcompensating for this orphanage experience, so she made us suffer. We read all the classics, and I mean, not just selected works for dummies, but like the whole thing, 22 volumes by Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, wow. William Faulkner, to that matter, 6 volumes of whom I read at the age of 12. And then I played violin for 10 years professionally at the Moscow Magnet Music School, and I guess I got so fed up with this classical training that at the age of 15, I placed a call to the KGB's headquarters and asked if they would make a KGB agent out of me.
Wow.
I just wanted to swap my violin in for a gun. Well, they loved the idea. You know, all these agencies, whether that be CIA, MI6, KGB, Mossad, they're looking for orphans because orphans have no affiliation with the family. Their allegiance is with the state, like James Bond, as we find out in The Sky Falls, was an orphan. And so they liked the idea. They said, now you just give us your social security number. We'll get you a pass into the KGB's headquarters, and we talk. Wow.
And what year was this?
Long time ago. And so in Russia, though, you get your social security at the age of 16. So I didn't yet have one. And so I told them so, and they laughed so hard, it actually hurt my feelings forever. But they said, now you kiddo, you grow up, you get some education, you call us back. And that's exactly what I did. By that time, I was married to Natasha, my wife, and her father just happened to be a KGB colonel. So he pulled some strings. I got on active duty and was a happy camper, really. I mean, it was the KGB which executed 200,000 Christian ministers in Russia and demolished 40,000 churches.
200,000, 20,000. How many ministers did the KGB kill?
200,000.
200,000. I'm going to put you on hold, Sasha. We're talking to Sasha Sutsarov from Russia. And you heard it. He was a KGB agent and an atheist. And then he came to faith in Christ. His daughter had something to do with that, somebody that she met. And now he's running the Moscow Seminary. We'll talk about Ukraine as well. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels sent from up above. You know you
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Fascinating opportunity today as we're talking and getting to know Sasha Sutsarov, who is at the Moscow Seminary, happens to be here in the States. Usually comes twice a year, but once war broke out in Ukraine and they've got Ukrainian students at the Moscow Seminary, we'll talk to Sasha about that. Now he's spending a little more time in the States right now than he did, than he planned on. So we're listening to his story and his testimony. And grew up, was in the orphanage that his mom ran, and growing up in the full Russian context, communist Russia, and wanted to be in the KGB. And they said, wait a little bit. And he came back around and he got into the KGB, and he was an atheist. So just a fascinating testimony. We really appreciate you being with us today, Sasha. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so you finally get into the KGB, and like, what's that? What's a job at the KGB like? And I was curious, Sasha. Do you have to be careful? I mean, it's 2022. Do you have to be careful when you talk about this kind of stuff since you still live in Russia?
Yes, absolutely. You do. You don't really want to disclose anything, divulge anything with regard to your past.
Yeah.
But in those days, I was a KGB agent, and of course it was the KGB which executed 200,000 ministers in Russia and demolished 40,000 churches. But I didn't care. You know, I was a happy camper. Yeah. I was paid 5 times better than national average.
Wow.
So if I had some moral remorses about what I did for the KGB, I could always come up with a good excuse. My best excuse, of course, being I have to provide for my family.
Right, of course.
And it was my family which set me up one day big time. My daughter, she was 9 years of age at that time, and she came back from school, and she said that she had met a new friend at school. And my daughter claimed that the father of the new friend was a Christian missionary from the United States of America.
Oh, boy.
And I looked straight into her eyes, and I said, you better be kidding, girl. I mean, think of it. She said he was a Christian, and I was, of course, a member of the Communist Party. I was an atheist, therefore. I claimed that there was no God. And she said that he was a Christian missionary, and I was, of course, a KGB agent. So in my view, all these missionaries, quote-unquote, were spies, and I had to take care of those by profession. And she said that he was a Christian missionary from the United States of America. And that, of course, made the picture even worse, because I was a proud product of the Soviet Union, so I thought we needed no help from the United States of America. Thank you very much. And so I got so disappointed with my own daughter that I didn't believe her. Instead, I went to her school, and I talked with her teacher. Only the teacher confirmed that there was, in fact, a couple from the United States of America, and the teacher also said that the couple was looking for a Russian tutor, which almost devastated me, rather, because as we say back in Russia, up in heavens, everybody is going to speak the Russian language because it takes eternity to learn it. Yeah, well, we laugh at it now. Believe me, I was not at the moment, because that very moment I realized they were not tourists as I had hoped they were, but came to stay. And that, of course, made me even more concerned with the situation. Well, I was a KGB agent, so I came up with a plan to investigate the case to then report it to my authorities. I recalled the fact that Natasha, my wife, just happened to be a professional Russian as a second language instructor. She taught at a military academia where officers from third world countries like Guatemala and Cuba and Venezuela would come to get trained in military operations in Russia. Only to do so, they would have to go through a very rigorous course on the Russian language by immersion, a year-long course too, so that then they could take classes at the military academia in Russian. So my wife did that for a living, and I, of course, utilized that to my advantage. I made my wife teach the missionaries, and that gave me a chance to spy
right.
over the family.
See what these people are all about.
Absolutely. Now, I was an agent undercover. Never wore the uniform ever in my life, and so I made it look completely innocent. I would just go to their place, and I would just sit there, pretending I was there to wait until my wife would get through with her lesson, to walk her back home, that is. Only, of course, I was there to listen to what they were talking about.
Yeah, wow.
And frankly, all they talked about was God. They played it smart, I admit that. they wanted my wife to use the Bible as their textbook.
Yeah, wow.
And all they wanted to learn was how to say the Lord in Russian. And how to say, here comes Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Wow.
In Russian. And how to say, and whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In Russian. So in about a half a year, just listening to that stuff, I got converted. I at least in my head I did.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
at least in my head I gave God a chance to even exist, which for me, a KGB agent was, in fact, a huge step away from my atheistic realm.
Yes.
But the missionaries, they were not just talkative about God. They were also very pushy about God. some half a year down the road, they pushed me into that praying business and reading the Bible business.
Yeah.
They gave me a copy of the New Testament in the Russian language, and they made me read the Bible. Well, I didn't want to blow my cover, so I yielded.
Right.
And I decided I would start it from scratch, which in my case was the Gospel of Matthew. And so I read the Gospel of Matthew through, and then the Gospel of Mark, and then I progressed to the Gospel of Luke. Only there I stopped because I ran into a portion of the Gospel of Luke, the portion depicting Jesus talking with his disciples. And among other things, Jesus tells them this. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more so will the Holy Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? And I was just dumbfounded right there.
Yeah.
Because that's the moment I realized that Jesus knew me better than I thought he did.
Yeah.
Because the first part of what Jesus was saying applied to me perfectly well. I mean, I knew I was an evil man. But I also knew how to give good gifts to my child.
Yeah, how about that?
And that made me think. I was thinking, man, I mean, if the first part of what Jesus is saying applies to me this well, then what if the rest of what Jesus is saying applies to me as well?
Wow.
And basically, I put God to a test. I followed the guidelines of the scripture I just read, and I asked the Father of the Spirit, and bam, I looked up, and I saw the Lord.
Wow. All right, well, hold that thought. We're talking to Sasha Sutrov. Sasha, I'm going to put you on hold. There in Russia, KGB agent, getting to know the Lord. God can get to you no matter where you're at. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Having a great, fascinating conversation glorifying the Lord through the testimony of Sasha Sutsarov. He's at the Moscow Seminary. Yes, Moscow, Russia. That Moscow. And he's in the States for a little while. And thank you, Dave, my buddy, who introduced me to Sasha and his ministry through email. And so just really appreciate the fact that we can have this conversation today. And Sasha, thank you so much for your willingness to share it with us. It's such a blessing.
Thank you.
So we're in this last segment here. So at what point, just for the sake of time, because I want to talk to you about what's going on today, at what point did you kind of realize, okay, I actually believe all this now. I'm actually going to place all my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me. At what point, was there a particular thing that happened, Sasha, that you're like, okay, I am all in?
Well, at the very point when I saw the Lord with my own eyes. Mind you, I wasn't a psycho. I was a KGB agent, tough as a nail, hard-headed, stiff neck, as seen on TV, and I saw the Lord with my own eyes.
Wow.
And, of course, then I experienced the fact that Jesus filled me up with the Holy Spirit of God, just as the scripture said. The Spirit felt like pure gold.
Wow.
And so I go back home. I just had my conversant by heart, because in my heart I knew Jesus was God. I saw him. My wife meets me in the door, and she says, what's wrong with you? I said, what's wrong with me, honey? She said, you're smiling. You see, I had never smiled before. She married me because her father, a KGB colonel, never smiled either. So my wife honestly thought it wasn't even appropriate for a man to ever smile.
Wow.
Well, apparently, Jesus made me smile that day, without me realizing that. And, of course, my smile gave me away. Mm. And since I was a baby in Christ, I didn't find anything more suitable than to tell my wife that I became a Christian now.
Wow.
And she, in turn, confessed to me that she had become a Christian even earlier than I did, only she was scared to death to talk about it with her husband, the KGB agent.
Mm.
And so there we were, two complete babies in Christ. So, frankly, we had no idea what to do with it. None whatsoever. So we decided we would read a little bit more of the Bible, because after all, we thought it was the Bible which got us all started on that track, which we did, only to find out that those who accepted Jesus Christ in the Bible would then plant a church. Well, so be it, we said, and we planted the church in Moscow, Russia.
Mm.
in 1991. But then I had my third conversion. You see, I had three, one by head, one by heart, and one by guts.
Wow.
Because one day I learned by my guts what the call of the Lord on my life was. And the call was to replenish the lost, to replenish the lost, which to me, KGB agent Steele translated into the need to replenish 200,000 ministers that
wow.
the KGB executed and planned 40,000 churches that the KGB bulldozed. And so we planted the Moscow family in 1983 together with One Mission Society. That's an American-U.S.-based group, 120 years in existence. They came and we joined the effort, planted the Moscow Seminary, because we felt that way we could replenish the lost by the way of multiplication. I could have probably planted another church and maybe yet another church in my lifespan, but through a seminary you could do 300
Amen. That's right.
Students simultaneously to then send them forth to plant churches throughout the Soviet Union. So we did. And we started with but 17 students to the very first enrollment, of which I was one of. And now we've grown to over 1,200.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Planters doing it. I think and it's great.
Amen. Yeah, it's an incredible story. So life now in Russia as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, openly doing ministry, is a very different world than it was back in 1990. Obviously, with the fall of the Soviet Union, it's a whole new thing. But it's still challenging, right? It's still risky.
It is still challenging. I wouldn't say it was risky, because these days Russia welcomes Christians. Quite paradoxically so, but still does. Because
Amen.
Russia wants peace. Russia does not want its citizens to go and protest on the streets.
Right.
Russia does not want its citizens to rock the boat. So Christians preaching peace of Christ are very welcome.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Well, yes, I know, but it's paradoxically so, but still so. And so, like the Moscow Seminary, we have a federal level, no end, lessons granted to us by the Ministry of Education of Russia, the license allowing us to train Christian ministers and religious personnel for the church. I mean, beats me.
Yeah, that's
but
amazing.
It is what it is, and we're using this window of opportunity to saturate the former Soviet Union with the Word of God, the presence of the Lord, and the knowledge of God.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And so 1,200 student ministers out there doing it, I think that's the best evidence to
Amen. That's
the power
right.
of God working
so,
in the life
well,
of Russia.
Let me ask you this, because we have a few minutes left, Sasha. So how has the invasion of Ukraine affected you guys? How are your average Russians reacting to this? How do you deal with the fact that you've got Ukrainians that are at the seminary? I mean, it's a brutal situation.
I don't fool with politics whatsoever. I do the gospel. And so from the standpoint of the gospel, nothing changed. We do have Ukrainians, 21 plus 108 of them, but we have Moldavians, we have Lithuanians, we have Uzbekistanians, we have Russians. We don't really separate.
Yeah.
We don't really differentiate. We train them all on par, and then they plant churches, those in Ukraine, those in Uzbekistan. So we just do the groundwork. That's the gospel.
Yeah, that's such a fascinating perspective, and one that's going to seem kind of foreign to a lot of people over here listening to us right now, because we're such political people as Christians over here in America, Sasha, that we generally don't separate the two. We're like, oh, well, we just need to train ministers, and we need to spread the gospel and leave the rest to the Lord. That's a very different perspective. So how do you look at what would you challenge us with, us American Christians, in terms of how we look at politics and issues in the world? I mean, it matters because it affects people, but it doesn't come before the gospel. How do you help us kind of understand that?
Well, I accept no responsibility for the United States of America, but for Russia, for Ukraine, for Belarus, Moldavia, etc. Yes, I do. I do, I do, I do. And that's the reason I operate the Moscow Seminary in Russia, to saturate the former Soviet Union with the Word of God. Because back in the former Soviet Union, everybody speaks the Russian language.
Yeah.
And we use that as an opportunity to train just about everyone in the former Soviet Union. So we don't get into politics. We do the groundwork, and that's the gospel. And that would be my advice to everybody.
Yeah, that's that trickle up from human perspective and trickle down from a God perspective, because he changes societies. I mean, in the first 300 years of the church, their goal was not to turn over the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire got turned over because of the spread of the gospel and the change of human lives, just like with yours, Sasha. It's such a powerful reminder. How can we pray for you? Is there a way that we can get involved in what God's doing there at the Moscow Seminary? How can we help?
Yes, my phone number is 317-341-2312. That's 317-341-2312. Give me a call if you want to hear of Russia from a Russian. I'm in the States against my will. Nothing is flying back to Russia, so I'm available for a couple of weeks. And if you feel you'd like me in the pulpit or maybe to a combined Bible study class, then you were in the United States of America, just give me a call. I would come and share.
Yeah, which is so I just shared your phone number for our folks that are watching the show. And, of course, you're talking to a bunch of folks on the radio. So that's just gospel forwardness there, that Sasha would just put his phone number out there. 317-341-2312 is Sasha. Literally, call him. 317-341-2312 and have him come share his testimony and what's going on over in Russia at your church or your small group. That would be incredible. How can we pray for you, Sasha?
Pray for the Lord to provide for my return back to Russia. I've tried everything I can, but, you know, as they say, you do everything possible and the Lord does the impossible.
Yep.
So
right.
At this point, I'm thinking maybe I should fly to Alaska and just WIMO over the getting straight or something. But I'm sure the Lord has a better plan. And pray for the Lord to provide for my way back to Russia, and pray for this whole insanity about the war between Russia and Ukraine to go away, for the dust to settle and for people to work together as the body of Christ in action.
Amen. Such a great message for all of us. Sasha, God bless you, my brother. I look forward to, if we don't meet on the earth, I look forward to meeting you in heaven. And thank you for sharing. And we'll do this again. All right, so let's stay in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Having me on the phone. Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. All right, you're welcome. Bye-bye. That was Sasha Setzeroff from Russia. Just fascinating, isn't it? That Bible can really be problematic. You start reading that thing and you get into the Gospels. Same thing happens with Mormons or Muslims or an atheist KGB agent. And the Word of God is going to do what only it can do. Such a powerful thing. And he doesn't bother with politics? Actually trust that the gospel will change a whole culture? Amazing. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Can we switch that screen out behind me? Welcome back, Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And what an amazing story, wasn't that? Sasha Setzeroff, a KGB agent, atheist, and then his daughter at 9 comes home and says, oh, I made a new friend, and her dad's a Christian missionary. So Sasha jumps in as a member of the KGB. He's like, oh, they're spies. And so as part of the ruse, this is so funny, as part of the ruse, he has to play along because he's spying on them, and that gets him into, the Word of God. And it's the Word of God and the power of God and the truth of God that eventually converted the man. And talk about courageous. That is one courageous dude, okay? And then when I talked to him about politics, he was not going to go down that road for obvious reasons. Plus, I think he actually believes in the power of the gospel. But that's courageous. Talk about a guy that can stand courageous. That's Sasha Setzeroff, who literally gave out his phone number on the air and said, hey, I'll come share my testimony and tell you about the Russian church and what God is doing over there. That's pretty bold. Do we need more guys like that? Do we need more American men, godly men, that are willing to take a stand like that and stand courageously no matter what happens, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or social media or your job or the government? And so next Friday, and our friend Randy Wilson was in the studio just recently. He's the director of men's ministry for Family Research Council, FRC, with Tony Perkins. They've got a big event coming up next weekend, Stand Courageous for Us Guys, Us Men, next Friday and Saturday, May 6th and 7th, High Point, North Carolina. And it's great to have Randy back on. Hey, Randy, how you doing, buddy?
Steve, great to be with you again, and as always, love what you're doing.
What a great testimony that guy had. Randy and I are texting earlier. I'm like, sorry, bro, you got to follow the atheist former KGB that got saved. But that's a great example. That's why I did that lead-in, a great example of what it means to be a courageous man. And we need a whole lot more people like that in this country than we have currently. So tell us what's going on. Stand Courageous is just, God's just doing a wonderful thing there and going to be in High Point, North Carolina, just to the west of us next weekend. Tell us all about it.
Well, Steve, you know, we're in crisis everywhere economically, the energy crisis, world crisis, but culturally, we are in a crisis here in America, and we need men to stand up and show up. We need men like Joshua, who even as courageous as he was, God said, hey, brother, you just stand up. I'll be with you. Do not fear. And there's a lot of that fear going on. We don't know what's coming down the pike. We've been pushed aside. We've been run over. Speaking of men, as we've grown up these years, there's a concerted effort to take men out. And the enemy has done a great job, and we find us in the middle of crisis where secular universities are now defining manhood as a mental disorder and masculinity as toxic. And these are the issues. This is the issue that we're addressing at the Stand Courageous Conference that, as Steve said, next Friday and Saturday at High Point at the Green Street Baptist. So, Steve, we focus on five biblical principles of masculinity. You know, there's all kinds of things we could talk about, but as you were talking about the previous story and testimony going on, when the word is spoken, it goes out, it does its work, and it never returns void. Yeah. And we believe, as we talk about biblical masculinity and what that means to men, it's simple. It's just five things. If we can get those right, we change the home, we change the church, and we change communities across the country.
Yeah, and it's no wonder that over the last 50 or 60 years, right at the epicenter of Satan's efforts in the United States of America has been the family, and to get the father out of the family and then to mock him and to minimize him and to make him basically the brunt of jokes. And then a lot of guys, that's why, you know, we talked a little bit about this last time. When you look at Loudoun County, Virginia, and the earth-shattering changes that occurred there, it wasn't because a bunch of men stepped up. It was because a bunch of women stepped up. And praise the Lord for them. But we should be there right in the trenches with them, shouldn't we?
Well, we should be. And it's one of the things we call the men to is we talk about man as a provider, not just financially, but providing men, providing your presence. Your children need your presence there. You don't have to have a book out and teach them all kinds of things all the time, 24/7. They want your presence there. They want you to be accessible. They want you to notice them and to hear them and respond to them, to the questions that they have, because they have many. And this is what the enemy has done. He's driven the men in many ways out of the home. He's broken and divided the relationships in the home, primarily with the wife that gets them out, and then with the children as well. And they're left stranded, kind of aimlessly walking, trying to figure out what life is all about.
Yeah.
So we talk about the presence and the importance of that, but also about defender and what that means. And it's not what you normally think defender is. It's so many more things. And then the men go, well, gosh, you know, I don't know what to do, but what they need somebody to hold them accountable. We need a battle buddy, and we talk deep about that with our good friend Steve, Stu Weber, who comes in. He's a decorated military vet out of Vietnam, and he talks about that military term and how important it is to have somebody who knows us, who can speak with us, can be a sounding board for us, can hold us accountable, and encourage us along the road, which we all need, right?
That's right. Yep, absolutely. We're talking to Randy Wilson. He's the director of men's ministry at Family Research Council, talking about Stand Courageous, which is coming up next weekend, okay, May 6th and 7th. It's Friday night and a good chunk of the day on Saturday over in High Point, North Carolina, at the church there. And you can get all that information, standcourageous.com, standcourageous.com. And by the way, I am planning on being there, so I'm excited to come over and join you guys for that.
Can't wait to see you.
And so, but one of the challenges is that, you know, I think a lot of us have lost our way in terms of what is a biblical man anyway. We tend to kind of have a secular perspective on that. And you were mentioning Stu Weber, who was in Vietnam, and then, of course, General Jerry Boykin, These are guys that you can look up to regardless of your age and regardless of whether you're a baby Christian or a mature Christian. We all kind of need this ongoing encouragement, which is just a gift of courage. I mean, we're all kind of at a deficit, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. And Steve, you know, where Revelation says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the price of the ticket is hearing General Boykin's testimony of his time growing up at home, his time in the church, what he learned there, and then off to college and then into the military. You know, he was one of the original Delta Force members there.
Wow.
And goodness sakes, the story and the battles that he has been in. He's been in all the major conflicts through the 80s and 90s that we've been a part of, from Panama to Grenada to the Iran hostage crisis, et cetera. And he was the general depicted in Black Hawk Down. This guy is a man's man. But I tell you what, he says, you know what? I am no different than any one of you. And he speaks directly to the men there and says, guys, I've been there. I've done everything just about that you have, just differently maybe, but I am no different than you.
Yeah.
We can do this. We can walk this road, but we've got to walk it together. And Steve, we have hundreds of men coming to Christ after General gives his testimony.
Wow.
It's an amazing time. You got to hear that, men. You've got to come and hear General Boykin's testimony because it will change your life. And you are no different than he is, as I just said. Therefore, you can step into the battle. You can step into the fray, and you can rescue. You can save your marriage. You can save your family, and you can make a difference in the community.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned people coming to faith because for all of us guys out there, us men trying to follow the Lord, most of us, hopefully, know some other guys that don't know the Lord or kind of backslidden or just kind of cultural Christians. So that's a part of it as well. It's not just building up men in the church, but inviting other men into the church. That's a big part of it. And of course, our mutual friend that I've known since about 2005, Tony Perkins, who's the president of Family Research Council.
Yeah.
What a gem he is. What's he going to be talking about?
Well, he's going to be talking about man as the chaplain. So what is our place in the home? How do we present the word to our children? And primarily, Steve, it's all about consistency. It's all about showing up and just reading a passage around the dinner table. It's praying together with them. I mean, that has so much impact that the children talk about in years to come as they start their own families, that what was the one thing that turned them around, that put them on the path and planted their feet, was that small time, it seems, small time of reading a chapter in the Bible around the dinner table, or a prayer that was consistently said at home that you call your family to. It is so simple, men, but the enemy, what makes it hard is the enemy is going to come against you because he knows that's the key to success and turning this country around and the families together.
Yeah, and I think that's something, whether we're talking about engaging and leading our families or being more active in our communities or our schools. Listen, I was minding my own business following the Lord back in all the way back in 2002 and 2003 and thinking I was doing the right thing. But my boat was pretty much in a harbor. I was spending all my time with Christians, and I was spending all my time at church and running my little business, and we were homeschooling. But I wasn't having an impact on the world around me, and that's simply not an option as a Christian. I think I mentioned this when you were in town, Randy, that old quote from D. James Kennedy, that Christians should be like hurricanes, and wherever we go, nothing stays the same. So that's a call to things more than just a kitchen table. That's the whole culture around us.
Well, we need leaders, and men were created to be leaders.
Amen.
And that is one thing you can do, man. You can lead another man who's a friend, a coworker, whoever it is, your neighbor, and say, hey, there's this military guy, unbelievable, decorated veteran. You got to hear him. Come with me. Just come Friday night. For goodness sake. If anything, just come Friday night and hear his testimony, okay?
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's next Friday and Saturday in High Point, North Carolina. Next Friday and Saturday. It's Friday night and Saturday during the day, Green Street Baptist Church. You can get all the information, get registered, get your tickets. StandCourageous.com, StandCourageous.com. I hope you'll join us. Make sure you say hello to me and Randy when you're there, and we'll all draw closer to the Lord together and become more godly men together. Randy, I love you, bro. Thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Love you, too. See you there.
All right, pal. We'll see you. Bye. Just what a great opportunity. StandCourageous.com, and bring somebody with you. We all need a tune-up. We all need to be inspired. That's certainly going to happen. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.